Okay, it's confusing. Season one, episode one. I don't know what I'm doing on this podcast, but this time I found my niche. Negro in Mexico. So this is about the journey in Mexico. It's on YouTube, so if you want to see the visual, you can go to YouTube Live. It's off the resort on YouTube with Dama Yanga, and see the live recording of our podcast. Now, this is just it's kind of rigged. It's kind of ghetto rigged recording of the live podcast. I haven't figured out a easier way to do it, so bear with me on these recordings. And also, again, I talk about it on the podcast. I live in Mexico, so any day at any time, something crazy could happen. And as soon as I start recording, they want to start banging in my condominiums. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can say. Whatever happens here, trust me, you're going to learn patience, because you don't get any notification or anything. You just, it is what it is. You got to rock and roll with it. So welcome to Voz de la Calle. I am Dama Yanga, or Diani, and Voz de la Calle is Voice of the Streets, and we are the streets of Mexico. We're giving the streets of Mexico a voice, because what we are learning in the USA about Mexico is so misleading. And we, that means me and my man, want to show you what it's really like living in Mexico and tell you the real stories of the streets and what it's like to, you know, blend with the locals. So enjoy Voz de la Calle. And this is season one, episode one on YouTube. So check it out. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to share, like, comment, whatever you need to do to get this podcast going. Please support it and enjoy it most of all. Hola, hola.
Qué onda, qué rollo. ¿Cómo estás, Dama Yanga?
Bien, bien.
¿Puedes rolar tu R's, tu R's?
Yeah. I got it. I'm telling you. I've been here too long not to know that.
That's what's up. Bienvenidos a todos. We live. I don't really go live, but I let Dama Yanga pop it off.
Thank you. Let me put out this disclaimer, y'all. So they just started banging in my apartment, and that's one thing about here in Mexico. You never know what's going to happen, and you can't complain about it, because it is not going to change anything.
It's not going to fix it. Fix your face.
It's not going to fix the face, right? So if you hear the banging, there's nothing I can do about it. We're just going to have to just bear through it. Right? So let me read this intro real quick, because I loved how you wrote it. It is amazing. Just give you a brief overview of what this podcast is about. All right. I got my handy dandy notes. All right. Welcome to Voz de la Calle, the live broadcast that gives you the voice, that gives voice to the streets. Join us as we explore the stories, struggles, and triumphs of those who live and work abroad in the United States of Mexico. From activists and athletes to entrepreneurs and everyday people. Oh, okay. We bring you interviews and conversations that shed light on the diverse experiences and perspectives that make up the fabric of the expat and local community. Our host are passionate about amplifying the voices that often go unheard, and they bring a wealth of knowledge and expertise to each episode. Whether we're discussing social justice issues, exploring the local art scene, or diving into the latest news and trends, Voz de la Calle, which is Voice of the Street, is a platform for honest, engaging, and thought-provoking conversations. Bravo, bravo. Hello, everybody. We got a few people in. We got Yapa Judah here. We got Tony Van Buren in here.
Okay, bienvenidos.
Thank you for joining.
Thank you for joining. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Yanga Sport Culture, Off the Resort, Dama Yanga, myself, King Yanga.
Subscribe. Make sure y'all subscribe.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Yes.
You know, you're watching, you got to subscribe. You already know. That's what we do. Like, subscribe. You support us. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate all the support.
And let us. Yes, let us know where you're tapping in from, too, as well. Where are you living right now in this moment? Are you abroad? Are you local here in Mexico? Let us know. Other topics, y'all. So you guys want to tune in. We'll be doing this every Thursday around this time. The things that we're going to be talking about, I had to write it down because there's so much misinformation about Mexico that we learn in the United States. So we're going to tap on to topics such as the transportation system here, the education system here, what entrepreneurship looks like. We're going to talk about medical and dental, the safety, dating and relationships, the economic scene, sports, history, language, culture.
Culture.
I mean.
La cultura. We're going to teach y'all about la cultura, man. The last 15 to 20 years, man, it's been a lot of changes. You know what I'm saying? A lot of changes going on, not only in the U.S., but in other countries abroad.
Yeah, and we definitely want to talk about the cartel, for sure. I'm saying, like, the real deal, because it's like people think that just because you come here from another country that you're going to be targeted. And it's just like the dumbest, but that's what the United States feeds us.
We more of a target in the United States. If you're from the U.S., you're a target just being from the U.S., period.
Right.
In the U.S.
Right. If you could share this live, too, go ahead and share it. The goal for this podcast is to undo the misconceptions, get people from the United States to wake up to what opportunities are here for us on all levels. How about you?
Especialmente los morenos.
Yes, yes. And to educate people about the unity of the black and brown people.
Estamos unidos.
Right, right.
Whether we like it or not, we're connected.
We are connected.
We have to identify with that and encourage one another to interact. You know what I mean? Like even with the guests who come and join us on live, we encourage you to interact with us, ask us some questions, give us some feedback, knowledge that you may know. I mean, we might be able to relate. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Certain topics.
Definitivamente. So my name is Dama Yanga, or Diani, for those of you who don't know me. I am a content creator here on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I was recently banned off of TikTok because of me speaking the truth about Mexico. Long story. I'm an Airbnb host here in Cancun, Mexico. I have a community of people that I started helping out with on WhatsApp. So I have a WhatsApp community as well. So if you're moving into the area, you can tap in with me. We help people transition from the United States of America here in Cancun anywhere, because my group is filled with tons of people, and it doesn't. You don't have to be from the United States. And I am the president of Yanga Sport Culture and the CEO of Off the Resort. And I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you guys are here.
You already know it's King Yanga, one and only, from Chicago, Illinois. Grew up in Sacramento on the West Coast. A lot of things, entrepreneur, songwriter, poet, father of three, professional basketball player, I'm a coach, maestro de inglés y español, innovator, creator, like I said, CEO of Youngest Sport Culture, and you know,
right,
natural born leader. We here.
Right. Introduce yourselves in the comments as well. Let us know what you do. And I see that Tony is moving to Playa del Carmen. And, she wants to join my WhatsApp group. I like this. Keep it coming.
That's it. Bienvenidos. What's your name?
Tony.
Yeah. Estás?
Don't forget to share. Share. So we met. I'm gonna tell the.
You gonna stay? Hold on.
I'm gonna tell the right.
That's how you gonna stay?
Huh?
You gonna start the live like that? How we met?
Yeah, I wanna tell people how we met because it's like all they know is that who we are, but like they need to know the backstory to get a better understanding of like how we ended up right here, where we're at right now. So we met on Instagram 9 years ago. He was living in Mexico playing basketball. He just injured himself. I was living in Stockton, California, and he slid in my DM. At that time, I was working in a pharmacy and managing artists from the Bay Area. And he slid in my DM and was like basically like saying he was looking for a business partner. And I'm like, what?
Bullshit.
Right. Because I've never, you know, talked to anybody on social media. We're going to fast forward. 3 months later, he came to Sacramento because he was having surgery. And the rest is history.
Yeah, I tore my Achilles playing basketball in Puebla. At the time, I was living in Michoacan. And, I was just on my phone networking. I had just started Youngest Sport Culture. Then it was Youngest Sport LLC. We didn't involve the culture part until we Dama Yaga. We presented Dama Yaga, you know, and brought her along. And it's been big. The impact that she's brought, you know, has been major. She's a boss. I see an opportunity to connect game and expand my horizons even more so. Long story short, you know, it took a lot of wrestling and growth, but we here now. So
yeah, we ended up in Mexico too because you challenged me. You said I was afraid to walk away from the material things and explore life. I remember you saying that. You told me,
was I lying?
No, but as an American, when you're comfortable with just being in your comfort zone and not expanding it, you don't know the things that you know. We don't, as someone brought up in America, we don't understand our luxuries. We don't understand the opportunities. We don't understand all that until you leave the country, even sometimes leave your state or your city or whatever. You don't understand like the position you're in. So I felt some type of way when you challenged me.
Right, it's okay to be afraid, but you still gotta make a choice.
Right, and the
go ahead.
The biggest reason for me wanting to go is when you taught me about the culture of the Black people in Mexico, when you introduced me to Gaspar Yanga. That was mind-blowing.
El Negro of Mexico.
I mean, I'm from California. First generation born and raised. I've been in California since the 70s.
Right.
Raised around nothing but Mexicans. Not once ever have I heard a Mexican in the States tell me about the Black history of people or Gaspar Yanga.
Or classify themselves as Afro-Mexicanos.
No. It's like when you hear about people in South America, you know, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, you hear about Brazil or whatever, you hear about that culture there, but you never hear about that culture in Mexico.
Oh, be honest with you, we everywhere. So there's no more denying the simple fact that we wasn't brought or transported on any boats anywhere we were, but that we were already where they were transporting
black people. And the more you explore out of your country, the more you learn about yourself. Because not just did I learn about Gaspar Yanga, I learned about the Black Seminoles. I learned about the indigenous people in Mexico. I learned about just a lot of information that's not taught to us in the United States of America.
Right.
Like what, as you were growing up though, like what was your idea of Mexico before you even left to Mexico?
My first encounter with a Mexican person was when I moved to California from Chicago, because in Chicago, even though it's Mexican, in my hood, it was all black people. I grew up around everybody black. The store owners were black, the pastors were black, the lawyer, everybody was black. So even though we would see Mexicans every now and again, but growing up where I came up, the first 10 years of my life, it was all black. We're all dark people, so that's what I was used to. When I moved to California, it was a culture shock, so I didn't get just Mexican people. I got Ukrainian, Asian, Mexican, so it was just a little of everything. But when I moved to Mexico, it just opened my third eye. It just opened my whole consciousness to what I have been doing. I had been doing the last 24 years. The history. We learn history. You got to relearn history. You got to continue to learn history over and over again in order to figure out who you were. But it was a test. It was a test to a test of my natural abilities and my willpower, to survive in a place.
Right.
Hundreds of miles.
Right.
Growing up, I didn't really have an opinion about Mexico. I made the choice to move because I was oblivious about Mexico. I didn't know the dangers, the differences in culture. I didn't know anything about the cartel or anything. So it's like coming from Chicago is what is there to be scared of?
Right. It was nothing like it is now, like how the propaganda, the news, the media are constantly targeting Mexico. It wasn't like that when you was growing up, because we didn't have like that type of news that was so easily accessible.
Right. I'm gonna keep it real with you. In Mexico, they talk about death and murder all the time. So, they're desensitized.
Yeah, I'm interested as to everyone watching what your thoughts of Mexico was growing up and what your thought of Mexico is now in the present. Like, if you could put that in the comments, I would love to hear that.
What I can say is, if I knew what I know now about Mexico, I probably would be like a lot of, American citizens. I probably wouldn't have gone as fast. I probably wouldn't have traveled as much. I probably wouldn't learn the language. I would have been closed-minded and, another person.
Not if you knew what you knew, if you listened to what people thought they knew.
I mean, that's the only way I'm going to know what I know, by listening to people from the state. But because I didn't listen to nobody and I didn't watch TV like that, then I didn't know nothing. So, I went with my own confidence in myself and in basketball, because that's what I was going for, was to, play basketball.
Because
basketball in the streets.
You were in Mexico before we met. So we met in 2015, right?
Right.
So when did you first go to Mexico?
2007.
Oh, it's 2007. I was trying to remember. Ooh, I bet it was way different back then.
So check this out. I really didn't pay attention to it, but I left right before the first recession.
And what was that one?
2008. So I left a year before when the recession hit. Then they did the swine flu. They did the influenza thing. And I was in Mexico at the time. and it really hurt Mexico economically, but it wasn't as big as COVID-19.
I remember the swine flu. I remember that.
Everybody was wearing masks.
Yep.
Nobody went to games. The soccer stadium was completely empty. People were walking around in Mexico with masks everywhere, scared to death. But so nothing happened.
The United States is the only place that didn't have to ever wear masks until COVID.
Right.
Well,
I didn't know what they were doing in the United States because I was in Mexico.
No, it wasn't a shutdown. It wasn't masked. I don't remember any of that being a thing. We just heard it on the news, you know?
Right. So during the swine flu, the first recession in 2008, I was living in Mexico and you know, chasing my dream, making a living, making money, doing what I was doing. This was all before Young and Sport. But I just was living life, surviving, and it really enjoying myself because it was different from everything that I ever, you know, known. The culture, the togetherness, they're family oriented.
Where did you go? When you first came, what part of Mexico did you go to when you first came to Mexico?
Aguascalientes.
Have I been there, babe?
Say that again?
Have I been there? No, I haven't been to Aguas.
No.
What state? Is that a state?
It's a state above, it's close to Querétaro and Guanajuato.
Oh.
It's above it.
Because I've been to Querétaro.
And Guanajuato.
What's in Guanajuato? Where do we go to Guanajuato? What's in Guanajuato?
We ate brunch in Guanajuato. This is where the mummies were at, Las Mummias.
Oh, we got to go back and look at the mummies then, because I don't remember that.
Yeah. We just ate brunch, and then we got back, and we kept traveling. We were going somewhere, and we just stopped in Guanajuato.
So you didn't know any Spanish when you first came to Mexico?
Hola.
Hola. Buenos dias.
I didn't even say that. I just said hola all the time. I didn't say buenos dias. I didn't say nothing. And then after I actually went back to, after my first experience in Mexico, I was there for a short period of time, and then I went back to Chicago to visit my family because the things with the teams didn't work out, you know, as I wanted them to. But I was determined to, you know, go back. So I went to Chicago to train. It was wintertime. And I bounced right back after like 2 months. I ended up landing in Cuauhtémoc, Chihuahua. It's like a border town where Texas and Chihuahua. I ended up playing.
We went to Chihuahua for your son's paperwork for become American citizen.
Yeah, Juarez.
But
Cuauhtémoc is like a city right really close to that. It's also a border city. It was a blur. It was a real blur. And after I spent 2 or 3 weeks in Cuauhtémoc, the coach is crazy. I'm with this a little story background. When I played for this coach, he was cool. His name was Rafa. He was a cool guy. You know, I hope he's still, you know, shaking the leg or not, because he was a good person. But he did a lot of things, you know, within the system that I didn't agree with. We played like 5 games. We were undefeated, and me and the other American, we didn't get paid. We hadn't got paid for 5 weeks. We were supposed to get paid every weekend, and come to find out, he was betting on the games, and we was winning. So he was winning some money, but we wasn't getting our money. And it was crazy because one game we were in Madera, a city called Madera, and we were supposed to lose that game, but. That's when we found out he was betting, because we were about to lose, and he kind of begged us to, you know, win the game for him. So we won, and we got chased up out of there. The whole gym like kind of ran us up out of there because the fans were pretty, you know, they're
loyal.
They're loyal to their team, so they didn't even care. They just wanted their team to win, but we ended up winning. And we got paid, but I got cut, and then I got sent to a different league that was better than the league that I was playing in. And from there, my career kind of like, you know, started to go upward.
Because you played with Mexican nationals and U.S. citizens.
It was just me and one other guard from Peoria, Chicago.
Oh, so it was only two Americans and the rest were Mexican nationals on your teams.
Yeah, certain leagues, they only allow you know, two Americans or two international players. They don't have to be American. They could be Cuban or from somewhere else. But two people who aren't locals.
Was it easy to navigate not knowing the language, though? That's because a lot of people, like, if you go to tourist areas, you don't really have to know Spanish. But how about inside the heart of Mexico, though? Like, the places that you was going.
They don't care that if you speak. That if you don't know Spanish, God be with you. Because a little kid can finesse you out of your money real quick. If you don't know the language, you know, and that little kid got a little sense and some intelligence and know that you naive as an American, you could get it. Anybody could get it. You have to know the language. It took time, but I used it as protection. It was a mechanism for me to, you know, a lot of the times I wouldn't speak and the Spanish locals would think that I didn't know Spanish. So I let them speak and they would continue to speak and I understood everything after a while.
You know what? Traveling with you, what I did notice is that, especially on the bus system, like America, in the United States of America, there's a lot of direction. There's a lot of instruction on if you get off at this place, you can go to this station, you can do this. In Mexico, if you do not know Spanish and know how to speak to people, there's no direction, there's no instruction, there's no guidance. You need, it's
they
like.
They want you to come ask them. That's kind of why it's a lot of things, a combination of things. We spend money on street signs and do things so you can be self-sufficient. So you land in a city, just read, and you'll be able to find your way. But in Mexico, it's like that stuff costs money. You know what I mean? Some towns don't got enough money to put letters up or signs up. All of their signs are handwritten. You know what I'm saying? So they at least try. But you just got to pay attention.
Right.
Pay good enough attention to where and already know what you're going to do before you get there. Don't get there like, what do we do now?
Right. If you're just joining us, hello, Urban Can TV. We're talking about Mexico and our experience in Mexico and just really going over the basics right now. We're just tapping into the basics.
Pretty much.
Right?
Yeah, the language helped me a lot. The language helped me in business, it helped me in sports, it helped me with my relationships with the locals.
Right.
Sponsors, whatever you wanted, the language.
Right.
You had communication with the nation.
All right, share the live too, y'all. I forgot to say that. No, you know what? Being here without you right now,
it forces you to all the way in.
Yes, in my first, you know what it was? This is how I knew I had to learn the language. Remember that time we were flying out of, it was in Mexico City. We were flying out of Guadalajara. We were going back home.
It was Ixtapa.
When they wouldn't let us, when they wouldn't let you on?
It wasn't Ixtapa?
I think it was Guadalajara. I remember it's because they wouldn't let you back.
Yes, yes. We flew from Ixtapa to Guadalajara, and then because it was an international flight from Guadalajara, for some reason they decided not to let me on the plane because they said my passport was worn down. And that's the first time I heard of that one.
But it was heavy COVID time where you had to read certain instructions on how to get past the checkpoint to get into your terminal. And it was all in Spanish. You were freaking out. You were pissed off. You were handling. Yes, I didn't want to miss the flight. So I had to basically be on my own.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
No,
you didn't.
No, at the point. No, I'm talking about at the point where I had to get the certificate.
Get all the information, yeah.
Yes, because you were not trying to hear anybody. Like you were mad. So I was basically on my own. Plus I was nervous. I was frustrated with you. And so that's how I knew, like, at that point, I needed to tighten up on my Spanish, because if you can't speak the language in a situation where you really need to speak it the most, you as good as gone. You as good as gone.
You might be gone for a long time.
Right. So
learning Spanish got me out of that jam plenty of times. Everything happens in an instant, and if I don't know how to defend myself or explain myself in some type of way, so I could have went to jail. I got friends who went to jail in Mexico. You don't want to go to jail in Mexico. You don't want to be tough in Mexico. You want to follow the law and learn the language.
No, definitely. I've been with you on a few occasions where I know if you didn't know the language as well as you did, we would have gotten gaffled, robbed, and I'm talking about from the police too. We would have been taken
all the above.
We would have been taken advantage of, and I paid attention to that, because as Black people or Negro people in Mexico, you're automatically targeted, and it's not for the same reasons as a white person is targeted. You know?
Nah, they just want the money from them.
They didn't want the money from them, but they think, are we Haitian? Are we Cuban? Are we... They don't know what part of the world we're from. And they're intrigued. They're intrigued to know.
That's crazy, because it don't matter what part of the world the white folks from. It matters what part of the world you're from.
It matters what part we're from. But I mean...
They see Europeans and Americans as the same. The only difference between them two is the Americans tip more.
Yes. They deal with other worries and concerns, but I'll say this, even though we are Black in Mexico, I don't fear for my life. No. Like a Black person in the United States.
Right. I don't either. I actually feel more embraced. I feel more love, genuine love, unconditional love. I done did things to people where out of my own anger and passion to where I had to go back, double back and apologize and, you know, show the real side of me, my integrity and all of that, because these are modest people. Like they're very humble, you know, in a sense. They're not braggers and boasters, you feel me? So like normal conversation with them is just enough.
That made me think. When you first took me to Mexico in 2016, it wasn't what it is now. It wasn't as popular. People weren't coming over here in droves. So in my mind, I knew that as a Black woman, there was a lot of people that never seen a Black woman in person. So I was a representative of all the Black women community. And I'm walking into that, it wasn't heavy on me, but it was a joy to show people a different side of a Black person or a Black woman than what they've seen on TV. And I can say I've gotten so much love, you know, in the past, more so in the past than now, because we travel to remote areas in Mexico where you gonna get lost. No one's gonna find you.
And if they know that you lost, it's tough. It is tough. You're gonna have to pay your way to get up from getting unlost. You gotta pay. If you get lost, you gotta pay. As simple as that.
But yeah.
What I can add is they embraced you. They embraced you to the point where it kind of like shocked me a little bit. But I understood it though. I understood it. They got tired of looking at my Black ass. Sure.
Well, as a man though, because of sports, they've seen more Black men because of sports. Because there was, you've been doing it for years. You know, coming over there, they get to see you guys. But as a Black woman, they were touching my hair. Remember people used to come just behind me and just sit behind me just to touch my hair and rub on me? And I'm like, wait a minute. This is in 2016, y'all. This is not like present time. And it was a blessing though. It was beautiful. I knew it wasn't something negative. It was curiosity. They felt privileged to be in the presence of a Black woman. Like, can you, no one has ever felt that as a Black woman in the United States of America. Ever.
You gotta travel. gotta travel. That's it. Kids gotta travel.
Right. Can I say one more thing? Can I say one more thing? And because of that, like because of the generational trauma that was hammered into our subconscious, our DNA, when we travel to these other countries and things like this happen, that trauma is expressed in our experience. Because I've had tons of women tell me, especially when I posted like videos of them touching me, they'll say, why are they treating you like an animal? You ain't a dog. You're not nobody's pet. How they disrespect you like that? And it was sad. I mean, I believe in boundaries in your space, but it was sad that that was the first thing that they went to. And it was more so than not, than as a great experience that how come it couldn't be that they were admiring me and they were honored to be in my presence? Why couldn't we look at it like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all about perception, and people can only really, if you have an experience, but you can only really perceive things through, you know?
Right.
That particular
day. Hey, Urban Can TV said, the cops say hi to us all the time, and it takes getting used to, because first it happened, I was like, what the... Right? They'd be like, hey, with the automatic rifles and shit, right?
I ain't gonna lie, I don't know if I can say this. I can say this, but like, it was a small town, I'm not gonna say where. And before, because I played a lot of league basketball in the professional league, in the top league, and you know, it's a lot of rules and regulations. You know, they do the anti-doping and stuff like that. But when you play basketball in the tournaments, the mercenary tournaments, which we'll get to in a later, you know, podcast, the rules, there are no rules. You know what I mean? There's freelance, everything, all the way down to how are we splitting the money. It's crazy. But one time in this small town, it was a cartel state. I'm not going to say where. I'm not going to say no names. But we was, hitting the bag, smoking before the game. That's just how I do. And to get in my mode. And I was with the sponsor. And, you know, we doing our thing. And the police were standing there, like, not too far. Like, maybe half, not even half a block away. And one of my teammates was like, yo, the police right there, they ain't gonna trip. And our sponsor, he was a well-known guy. You know, we know what he do. That he was like, we the police. What you mean?
Right.
And I looked at him like, after that, I get comfortable. I'm like, okay, if that's how we playing, then there's no more reason to be, you know, nervous or anything. But your average, you know, person be like, yo, the police, that's a natural reaction. So it's just another analogy to, like, somebody looking at something from a different perspective, like, yo, we the police. So him in that suit with that badge don't mean nothing, you know. We run the show, feel me? So with that being said, I move differently. I move accordingly, you know what I'm saying?
I hear tons of people say that too. They go, you're not afraid with the cops always holding those guns, walking the streets? And I'm like, they don't want to do nothing.
It's a whole different ballgame. I'm going to be honest. You know how they say what you see is what you get? It's not the case in Mexico.
Say that again. Right.
You go down there and you see something and you think it is something, then it can be totally different.
Definitely that.
A totally different outcome. You don't want to go down there messing with nobody. You know, same here, but you know, we learned how to not follow rules or anything. Down there, it's law.
What's crazy to me, babe, is the stuff that's constantly being fed to us in the USA, right? And actually living here while they're feeding that propaganda. And I'm not saying it's all peaches and cream all the time here. Stuff does pop off. But I'm gonna say this. I've been here going on 7-8 years. I've never seen anything in the street ever. I ain't talking about no fights. This is just me personally. no one being shot at.
I can't say that.
No, that's what I'm saying. No one being shot at. I'm talking about in the places that we traveled to where we stayed a little bit. And the longest I've been somewhere is Cancun. But let me tell you this. As soon as I go back to the United States, no matter where I go, I'm about to see something pop off. Guaranteed. In the first 2 hours, it's going to be a gunfight. It's going to be somebody robbing somebody, somebody fighting, somebody doing something. And so
somebody baby mama.
Yep, it's gonna be some type of drama. The energy in the atmosphere hits so different here. It's like you said before, there are calm, peaceful people.
Even
the animals display that behavior.
Right. The same exact behavior. You catch a pit bull walking through the alley on somebody block up here, you gonna get your ass bit. In Mexico, it's different.
Yes.
You'll see stray animals, but they won't be attacking nobody.
Right. Definitely.
They try to survive. They try to survive too. But
they having a whole conversation in this comment section that we need to tap into.
I can't read any of the comments.
You can't. Maybe you can scroll over or something. We definitely, you guys, off this live, we're going to have to tap in with each other and definitely meet up with each other, because I don't want to miss those collard greens and that jerk chicken, fruit cocktails, greens, mac and cheese for sure. We are going on almost 40 minutes. I don't know what happened to him. So yeah, well, we're going on 40 minutes. This is only supposed to be 30 minutes each episode. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. My question to you, any topic suggestions you want to talk about, please feel free to drop them in the comment section, or you can contact me, DM me directly. You can find me on Instagram at Off the Resort. You can find me on TikTok, Off the Resort. No, Dama Yanga. I'm sorry, they made me change it. Or you can, yeah. Reach out on IG. And I'm on Dyani, D-Y-A-N-I. Let me see if I can post it in the comments. Let me just post it in the comments. Oh, he came back. Let's add him to the stream. Yeah, I'm going to tap in the comments and tell people where they can find me and they can find you.
Okay, that's fine. I'm at Yanga Sport Clothing on IG, King Yanga 7 on IG, .com, DOTKOM on Facebook, Yanga Nation Network on YouTube. But we tapped in. If you tapped in with Dama Yanga, you tapped in with King Yanga.
All right.
Thank you everyone for coming. Thank you for coming.
And I also taught them to drop their suggestions on other topics that they want us to talk about.
Yeah, when it comes to Mexico, we can chat about almost anything. We're gonna get better. You know, this is our
It's our first one, season one, episode one.
I enjoyed it. The preparation, everything that you know we took to get here, so.
I've been waiting for this for 8 years. Thank you guys for like tuning in. I'm gonna see if I can put the replay in my videos here on if I can put them on a YouTube actual video, not a live. So this content, if I could save it and put it somewhere, I'm gonna do that. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Anything else, babe?
Díganos, gracias por venir, gracias por estar con nosotros. Si quieres aprender español o inglés, if you want to learn Spanish or English, I'm also your guy. And we out. Enjoy the rest of your day.
So what did you think? Did you enjoy the information? It was really an introduction, just to give everyone a brief overview of what this podcast is about, what our goals are and our intentions, where we came from, how we met, you know, just to, so you can be more familiar with us. You can, you know, be more comfortable with our personalities and how we talk to each other and how we talk to you and what we share and all that good stuff. So with that being said, again, don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms. For me, I'm on Instagram as Off the Resort. I am on Facebook as Diani Diani, and I'm on YouTube as Off the Resort with Dama Yanga. So go back to Facebook real quick. Diani Diani. That's D-Y-A-N-I, D-Y-A-N-I. You can follow me on there. Again, if you have any questions, any topic recommendations, suggestions, we are open to all of that. We're learning to grow, work together. I'm excited because it took me 8 years to get him to finally do this. He has so much knowledge of Mexico. His language, his second language is Spanish. He has children there. He was married to a lady there. He's still married to her. I think so. I don't know. Let me stop lying. Anyway, I'm spilling the tea. We're going to talk about that on an episode maybe. All right, how we deal with that. That's a good topic, actually. That's a very good topic. So, again, thank you again for tuning in to Voice de la Calle. I am Dama Yanga, and we'll see you next week every Thursday. We're doing this every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can catch us on YouTube. Again, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Tap, tap, tap in. Ciao.